Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante here kicking off this edition of the show, and it's all about the 2020 recruiting class. Coming to you as we always do from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. National Signing Day, the first day of it, kicks off. We are recording this before the signatures are coming in, so we're just going to look at this whole show, 60 minutes, looking at the 27 members of the class as it stands right now, what we like about it, the players that we think are underrated, and whatever else that comes up along the way. So this is all about the 2020 class, and we'll spend the whole show doing it. First and foremost, you know, it's a class that it's interesting. I mean, the quantity versus quality is a dynamic we've talked about before. I don't think Penn State lacks for quality at all. I just think that, you know, as we've also discussed, a lot of people had expectations they were going to have several five stars in this class, and it hasn't turned out that way. There's a heavy three star component, but I think for the most part, Penn State got guys who are probably better than what their recruiting ranking says.
And I think you hit it very well on a couple points. Yes, there were five-star guys that everyone was looking forward to. And yes, it would be nice to get them. It's college football still. The teams that get the five stars are the teams that win. But I think one other thing that's happened with the quantity, Dustin, is there are 11 four-star recruits on this team. If you had an 18 to 20 quantity class, you'd say, wow, more than half of these guys are four stars, and you say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The problem was by having 27 recruits, all of a sudden that blue chip ratio goes down a bit.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I personally believe that Penn State, A, they don't ever really care about the blue chip ratio. I think the blue chip ratio is an interesting component of looking at the correlation between recruiting and the results that your recruiting gets. And I think it's a pretty reliable metric too. My position on the 2020 class is that Penn State was seeking out guys who were a little bit more on the developmental side, who had all the physical stuff, the hand size, the length, the size, the power, whatever. They were looking for raw tools, and with an eye toward not using them in 2020. I don't think they were interested. The way that the roster shapes up, I think they're looking to stagger out development a little bit further down the road and have these guys be second, third, fourth year type contributors. That's my belief. I don't have that on authority, but a lot of these guys in my eyes fall into that category.
And there's also just the convergence of different elements. One is you have so many returning players. It's a young team. Second, you have a large number of scholarships available to you. So put those things together, you could bring in some projects and not be concerned.
So I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to roll down through and look at each player individually from this class, and the way that we want to do it. And before we even get to that point, the distribution of positions is something that you pointed out here, where what are we heavy on offensive line and defensive line in the class? It's a trenches oriented class.
Right. And receivers. There's five offensive linemen, seven defensive linemen, and six receivers.
Yeah.
So
that's two-thirds of the class, yes, right there. Now, I understand that guards, centers, tackles, defensive tackles, defensive ends, and wide receivers. And even within the wide receivers, you have a player who's probably built for the slot in Parker Washington. So there are shades of gray. Like, there are positions within positions, but as a whole, you're at 18 out of 27.
There are. But if you look at it, they could play four defensive linemen typically, and they brought in seven. Typically, this offense will play three wide receivers at a time, and they brought in six.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a message in there somewhere.
Boy, I mean, if you look at the way the roster is built now, I think believing in numbers and the strength in numbers, whether that's from a development standpoint or from a, hey, we're going to use a bunch of guys standpoint, I don't really know how that strategy, looking at the wide receiver spot, I don't really know how that strategy is going to fare. You know, are we going to lose guy? I mean, we're looking at 2020 having 12 wide receivers on the roster. Different stages of development, different stages of expectation, all that stuff. But that's a lot of players when there's only one ball to go around, you know, and we'll see how that part of it plays out. But there, you know, even six in this class.
But now in the day and age of the portal, bring them in, let the cream rise to the top, and the rest will probably move on. So let's start talking about the individual players.
The individual players. Now, if you look at the bottom of this class, it kind of falls into exactly what we thought. So number the lowest rated player in this class is a offensive guard who's 6'4", 300 pounds. He's the son of an NBA legend. There are bloodlines. There is size. He plays a position that's not super sexy. He plays at a school that maybe doesn't get a ton of exposure at Parkland. But Nick Dawkins, I mean, he's a guy. He can race past this star rating.
Definitely. And I'm old enough to remember watching his father play basketball. And there were some quirks to his game. But you cannot question his father's athleticism. At this size and those genes, I'd take a flyer on this kid.
100%. I mean, and I don't even know, like, he's not even one of the guys that I look at and view as a flyer type player. Like, he's not one of the guys where I'm like, hey, he's going to need some time. I mean, he's built for this now. They might have to reshape. Yeah, with a high school kid who weighs 300 pounds, you almost always have to reshape that. But I'll tell you, I don't view him as a project at all. He's not a finished product, but he is a player who's a good player now, who's got a lot to suggest that he can be a really good player later.
I'll keep leaning on the bloodlines too.
I believe that 100%, and I think people who evaluate talent believe in that too. I'm surprised it doesn't count for more in his recruiting ranking. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're just getting started here, breaking down the 2020 recruiting class. It's National Signing Day, the first of two National Signing Days in the 2020 recruiting cycle. We're going player by player in Penn State's class, which is a lot. There's 27 players. We're going to be discussing it all show long here. We talked about Nick Dawkins as the lowest rated player in the class. Another offensive lineman is right there next to him, and Ibrahim Traore from New York, 6'5", 290 pounds, offensive tackle. You know, a guy that frame and that athleticism and his movement, it all suggests that with some work he can develop.
And exactly, that's what you also expect. New York City is not where a hotbed of football recruits.
Right.
So it's a guy who's probably under the radar. And I'm generalizing a bit. I got to admit, I haven't watched his film to make a judgment, but 6'5", 290, I like that. And it goes back to probably what you talked about earlier about some of these guys. They're not going to be first-year starters.
Right.
But in 3 years, look out.
Here's what I like. Every high school offensive lineman making such an astronomical leap to the next level. It is a huge leap from one level to the next. You think about the type of player that a guy like Traore is playing against in high school. A guy like, you know, if you're 6'5", 300 pounds, who you're playing against every week, you're owning them. You know, if you're a Division I offensive tackle, you are owning your competition because it's probably a 5'10", 240-pound kid who, you know, he just doesn't have a prayer against you.
You realize you just described yourself.
I'm not 5'10", Jim. Okay. I'm closer to 240 than I want to be. But I'm not 5'10". I'm 6 foot and change. Let's not get that twisted. But more like he would own me. Absolutely. So but making a leap to the expectations and the guy who's lining up across from you, like, that's a leap for anybody. So in that respect, every single offensive tackle, every single offensive lineman is a project. I'm generalizing, but so you're looking for guys to build up. The one complaint over the years I think that Penn State has had under James Franklin is how many, like, legit offensive tackles have they brought in? A lot of their offensive tackles that have done such a good job for them have been, you know, your Brendan Mann, your Andrew Nelson, your Ryan Bates was a guy – probably better suited for guard that they used at tackle instead. Rashid Walker is really the big name that I can think of. Will Fries was a good prospect, not a great prospect. So Penn State has gotten more of these kind of developmental, like not sure thing types than fans would have wanted. And I think that's true in this class as well. But I think they've done a pretty nice job in the grand scheme of things of developing offensive linemen.
And the offensive line looks good for next year. So none of these linemen need to step up.
Having him ready for 2020 is a waste.
Right.
And I think that's true at a number of positions. We'll get to one more, then we'll kind of move on. Speaking of projects, Fatoru Mulba is from, like, Susquehanna Township is literally half a mile away from where we're sitting right now. And nobody.
Just to let people know, we're sitting in Harrisburg.
We are in Harrisburg, PA. He goes to Susquehanna Township High School, which is right down the road. 6'3, 270 pounds. To give some perspective, there aren't a lot of people in this area, in the conference that he plays in the region that he plays in, who really had any idea who this kid was. Now, you look at him at 6'3, 270, he is built like a mountain, Jim. I mean, and that counts for something. Like, I think if you get that body type and those that physical ability in Sean Spencer's program, in a couple years, he's going to get value out of that. And it just kind of begs the question, like, how polished do you want your defensive linemen to be when they arrive? Ideally, you have that mix, right, where they're physically and technically they're stars on both fronts, but it's not realistic to get guys like that. When push comes to shove, and in this class in particular, Penn State's looking for raw tools, and they got a lot of them in Mulba.
And I believe all of us would love to see them getting a whole roster full of five stars. That's just not going to happen. So when you get a guy, there's still such a thing as under the radar, especially when you're local. You can, as coaches, I trust this coaching staff that they could find some diamonds in the rough here in Pennsylvania,
yeah.
And this kid could qualify as such.
Yeah, and I think he to me, sort of encompasses this class in a nutshell, that Penn State isn't concerned about 2020 in terms of getting these guys on the field. There's a handful of them who could. But in this class, you're seeing guys that are much more ticketed, maybe not even for 2021, for 2022. Third year on campus, especially when it's so heavy with, 12 offensive and defensive linemen total. 2022 is when you're looking for impact from these guys. Mulba, not an accomplished football player as a whole, but Penn State loved what they saw from him on campus for camp. And at he looks like a grown man already. And Sean Spencer can do a lot with that, but I don't think your expectations should be right away. It should be down the road. We're not done talking Penn State's 2020 recruiting class. We're going to keep working our way down through in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas gift box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron. All in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com. And don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.